up, everybody? My name is Matt. This is the Nintendo Fever Podcast, episode number 83. Man, we're getting so far up here, Holly, that it's hard for me to even remember what numbers without first looking at the notes that you prepare. But this is episode number 83. We're going to be talking about a whole bunch of fun stuff. But before I get started, and we get started, I want to first say hello to Holly, my first co-host in this episode. Yes, first. Holly, how are you doing this week?
I'm doing great. Pretty good this week.
Good, good. And then, as a special co-hosting guest this week, we have the brand new to the website writer, Arthur. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty dang good.
That's awesome, man. We're excited to have you here. We're excited to have you starting to write for the website. You've already posted your first two articles on the website. Both of them are related to The Legend of Zelda. You're doing a really cool series based on the whole series. Basically, you're doing just an article about each one of the games. You've already done the first one, moving on to the second one. So what's coming up next for you on the website, Arthur?
Well, chronologically speaking, we're just going to move right along into Super Nintendo Zelda. Okay. And then, you know, into the 3D. For the record, no, I will not be covering the CDI games.
No, but they're classics, right?
Yeah, well, clearly they're the best Zelda entries ever, and while they're not included in Hyrule Warriors, I'll never know.
Yeah, well, I'm still waiting for that DLC pack, you know, just like the ashamement of the Legend of Zelda series DLC pack.
It's like Goku and Smash Brothers. You'll get it eventually, buddy.
Eventually. Well, that's awesome. That's going to be coming out. I think you're posting every Monday or so,
yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes, so every Monday.
So when you hear, this podcast actually comes out on Monday. So when you hear the podcast come out on Monday, you'll be seeing Arthur's new article. So that'll be really exciting. But I don't know, before we get into, as normal with the podcast, we're going to be doing the Who's That Pokemon Recent Swag, talking about the stuff that came out this week, what we've been playing with our own fingers. And then we're going to also be talking about the little tiny thing that maybe you heard about called the NES Mini. I don't know, did either of you guys hear about that thing?
Not really.
No, yeah, it wasn't very exciting. Not a lot of fanfare it came out to. But before we get into that, I think, Holly, isn't there some questions that you like to ask the writers when they come onto the show?
Yeah, basically, we've already kind of discussed what you have in the works, Arthur, but is there a way that you would describe your personal writing style? Like, how is it distinct from other writing styles so that people can kind of get an idea of what to expect, basically, from your writing?
Well, using the first article I submitted as an example, instead of just being like, man, this is Legend of Zelda, this game is great, alright, done, print, you know, I mean, anyone can do that, and anyone has. I mean, it's one of the best games out there. It's good.
It's Zelda.
Exactly. So, what I try to do is I think about it in a way that people don't usually tackle. Like, with Zelda 2, it's more Castlevania-y than any other
it's
Zelda
totally
game title.
Totally a word in the dictionary and everything. Castlevania-y.
Mm-hmm. No. It's on my Google tab right here. you know, so pointing out that it's a side-scroller, and it did something different, but because it was different, kind of makes it good. And it is a good game, you know.
Yeah, I enjoy it more than I think a lot of people do.
Oh, sure.
Not that I've ever made any kind of decent progress in it, but it's fun to just mess around in.
I think I got, like, halfway in.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, you know.
That's impressive.
But yeah, I just trying to think of, like, one specific angle. Like, what did this game specifically do? How well did it do it? And then I'm just like, all right, start writing from there, I guess. And then, I don't know. Try to keep it short, because they're like, oh, it's got to be under a certain character limit. And I'm like, all
right,
well.
Right. Nobody has the time to read anything anyway today, so. So short and sweet. I'm just kidding, Mike McSurdy. Yeah. His style is kind of writing longer articles, so. you know, we have a pretty diverse group of fans, I feel like, and so, you know, there's something for everybody over at NintendoFever.com. So listeners, be sure to check out our written content, as always, on NintendoFever.com.
And it's true. You know, when we were first looking for writers on the website, there was a couple of people that came and asked if they could write. And I remember a while ago you had done something about The Legend of Zelda, and when you said that you wanted to write, and then you submitted that for me to read as well, I was like, oh, this would be perfect. You know, something that I really want to try and get on the website happening is weekly content, and that was something that really struck a chord with me. Like, oh, one, it's Legend of Zelda. Everybody loves that. It's a large series. There's a good amount of games in the franchise. It's something that we can be talking about and continuing a conversation. You know, my goal and hope with The Legend of Zelda for this opening series is to kind of get everyone adjusted to, okay, we're going to, if we do this sort of long form article based series over, you know, covering overall basically, then hopefully we can kind of rely, we can fall back on a little bit and be like, oh yeah, well, we're going to move on to this, but we spoke about this, you know, kind of continue that conversation so it feels kind of cohesive in a way. I don't know if hopefully that makes a little bit of sense maybe. But yeah, it's been a nice breath of fresh air because sometimes all we have on the website is a review and a podcast. So to have actual articles that feel a little bit more fleshed out have definitely been very exciting. And obviously Mike does it when he's able to, which we always appreciate because he does a lot of that stuff for us.
Yeah.
So it's nice to have one other person on staff that can hopefully start doing that stuff as well. So hopefully we can get some more fresh content coming up.
No, right. Well, awesome.
But go right ahead.
I'm going to point out that by doing them all chronologically in or they were released, but I guess that's anyways.
Chronologically by that, release date, kind of.
Sure. Yeah. It'll serve a better purpose because what with the new Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild coming out,
we're just leading right up to it.
Exactly.
You know, it'll be a nice open spot when it, you know, hopefully comes out in March as it's supposed to come out. Right, everybody?
Right.
No more delays. Yes. No more delays.
Knock on wood over here.
knock on wood. But yeah, so let's go ahead and get into the show a little bit. Thank you so much for introducing yourself. We look forward to seeing more articles written by you, Arthur. But we're going to move on to kind of the first segment of the actual show now. It's called Who's That Pokemon? And I know that you're a pretty big fan of Pokemon, Arthur. I've seen the stuff that you post on the Twitter webs. Might as well actually give out your Twitter handle real quick.
It is at @Arthur_McDowell, McDowell.
Yes, go there for a huge slap in the face from pop culture and humor all at the same time. I think that's a good way to describe it, right? A little bit.
Maybe, I don't know. Slap in the face, that's the part you're talking about?
Yeah, man. In the best way possible, though, obviously.
Thank you.
Okay. I do have a Pokemon. This obviously is a small spin on a game show. You take guesses, you ask me questions, and then we'll see if you're right at the end. So, Holly, you usually like to ask a very particular first question based on the Pokemon that I've chosen, and that question usually is?
What generation is it in? That always helps me.
This Pokemon was first seen in Gen 3.
Gen 3. Okay, so Arthur, you and I have our first little hint there. Do you want to ask any questions, though, Arthur, to try to figure this one out?
Yeah.
Usually I'll ask, like, you know, does it evolve? Is it evolved? What type or types is it? Stuff like that.
That is my first question. What type is it? If it has multiple types, pick one.
It is, well, if it was multiple type, I would give you both, but this is a single type, and it is electric.
Ooh. So an electric type. It's Pichu. Just throwing that out there.
No.
It is not Pichu.
Oh, hang on. We're in Gen 3. Sorry, I completely got my gens wrong.
Probably
I was looking
really
at our last
the gun
Pokemon.
Immediately.
Yeah, and I usually eat my own words when that happens, too, so.
Never.
So, okay. My next question then is it evolved or does it evolve?
This Pokemon does not evolve.
And it is not evolved from anything?
And it is a singular Pokemon in its own species. I don't even know what that means.
Okay.
It does not evolve. It will not evolve.
Would you say it has a positive or negative outlook on life?
I would say it has a negative outlook on life.
It's a Minun.
Wow, that was a great question. That was perfect.
That was well worded. I was thinking to myself, like, it's either Plessel or Minun, and I'm going to let Arthur ask the next question because I'm sure he knows, and he just asked the perfect question right there.
That was absolutely perfect. I was scrolling through these little pictures and stuff, and I see one with a plus on his cheek and one with a Minun, so I almost didn't understand what you meant, but then I totally got it. So it was that was good. That was good. So yes, our Pokemon that you guys have successfully guessed is Minun, 312 electric. Kind of looks like a Pikachu mixed with a Pichu mixed with a blue.
Yep.
Yeah.
And a minus.
That's all I got.
Well, there's two of them because it was meant to introduce double battles. They built off of each other.
Oh, okay. So this is from the Game Boy Advance game then, correct?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, I remember seeing the double battles back in the day. As I've famously said, I like Pokemon quite a bit, but I dropped off after Gold and Silver pretty hard. I just never kept up after that.
A lot of people did, I think, sadly.
Gen 2 for life.
Yeah, whatever. Ooh. Speaking of Gen 2, our last episode's Pokemon was Typhlosion. As always, we had Ivan and Gentis correctly guess that Pokemon. It was a Gen 2 Pokemon. But we have a new Pokemon, if you guys are okay with my going through this process again.
Yes, please. Now, this one, just so Arthur doesn't quickly jump out and tell us what the answer
right.
is. this one is purely for the Twitterverse and people that want to write in guesses to us.
Yes.
Even though you may quickly know what this Pokemon is for whatever reason, because I surely won't, please keep your guesses till Twitter time.
Yeah.
Oh, let me get on Twitter real quick.
The only guess.
Spoiler alert.
Before the podcast even comes out.
This is the next NF Pokemon for the podcast. Okay, so this week, just real quick. As always, I'm going to start with Generation. So this Pokemon is a Generation 3 Pokemon as well. So we've got a Gen 3 episode today. So for you listeners out there who would like to try to guess this, get those Gen 3 Pokemon in your head. It is not Plusle or Minun, I'll tell you that. This Pokemon is a water-type Pokemon, and it does not evolve, and it isn't evolved from anything. It actually does have some similarities to Minun, funny enough. So, water-type, doesn't evolve, isn't evolved. Get all those Pokemon in your head. I'm not sure if there are any besides this one that fit that description in Gen 3, but my final comment will be this Pokemon has a distinctive shape, and its name how would I describe this? Its name kind of fits its shape, if that makes any sense. And just as a personal side note, I think this is one of the worst designed Pokemon ever. So with all of those hints in mind, send your guesses to us on Twitter using hashtag NFPokemon. See if you can get that one.
Normally, whenever we do the show, like, she always writes out the clues and then what the Pokemon is on our notes that we have, and this time that she did not, I can honestly say I have legitimately no idea what Pokemon this could possibly be.
Well, look it up. You'll probably... Arthur just typed us a guess.
I don't...
I'm sorry.
That's not even a word right there. That's not even a word.
Oh, that is a Pokemon.
I don't believe that that's a thing.
I just hope that isn't a serious guess, because that's not a water type.
Oh, isn't it?
Well, I don't think it is. It's an interesting one.
Let's try to refrain from talking about our text conversations on the podcast.
Sorry.
Yeah, we're just going to confuse the heck out of people again.
Audio format, remember, guys. All right. We are going to move on. Please make sure you tweet us at your guesses for this hashtag NFPokemon. You can hit me up at OnlyMattDesmond. You can hit Holly up at HollyFelmuth. And you can also hit up the official Nintendo Fever Twitter account as well, at Nintendo Fever. So please, NF Pokemon, let us know what your guess is. Do you win something? Only a virtual high five, but those are kind of hard to come by. So enjoy them.
Yeah.
We have recent swag coming up next. Sadly, Holly, I don't have anything exciting to talk about this week for recent swag. I have not been purchasing video games or collectibles or accessories for such a very long time that I just feel like the segment that I tried to like create is slowly dying with me.
Oh, but that's luckily, okay. You have off and on weeks. You know, it's kind of up and down.
Luckily, you this week are going to just like be the shining star that rescues this segment, though. So, Holly, could you please talk to us about what you purchased this week?
So, this week I received in the mail a Prima strategy guide kind of thing for the NES Classic Edition. So this strategy guide has, I think, 17 game walkthroughs in it. 17 of the 30 games on the NES Mini are covered in this, plus there's a little bit of background info. It's a really cool book. It's got this slip case that is shaped and designed like an NES cartridge, and it looks amazing.
It really does. Everybody should go and look this up online because it looks really cool.
Yes.
It's a really cool centerpiece book to own.
It is. It is really awesome. I'm going to keep it on my coffee table, but the big reason I'm keeping it there is because I also got the little console that the point of this book is, and that is the NES Mini. So sorry to all of y'all out there who haven't been able to get one. I'm really sorry. I feel so bad. But I was lucky enough to be able to get one of these, even though they're really hard to come by. And I actually have prepared an unboxing video. I cannot guarantee when that unboxing video will be up, but I'm going to publish that on the Nintendo Fever YouTube channel. If you want to search the YouTube channel, if you haven't subscribed to that already, Nintendo Fever is all one word. Just search Nintendo Fever on YouTube and it'll be one of the top results. And I will have it'll possibly be up by the time this podcast comes out, or it will be up shortly after this podcast comes out. But check out our YouTube channel for an unboxing of both the Prima Guide and the NES Classic Edition. So yeah, that's my recent swag. I'm pretty happy about it, to say the least.
Yeah, it looks pretty awesome. We're going to talk more about it. I don't want to spend too much time during the recent swag section, because it is going to be more or less our discussion of the hour is going to be about that. So we're going to move on from it. But I'm super excited to hear more of your thoughts on it. But over to Arthur. Did you get anything exciting this past week or 2 weeks that maybe you want to talk about? Something that's a physical release of some kind that you purchased?
I would also assume that this would have to be video game related.
Yeah.
Not necessarily. I mean, a lot of times we do collectibles. We do, Amiibo, for instance, are not necessarily video game. They're more collectibles.
Well, that's still video game related, though.
Very true.
I was going to say, I got card games out the wazoo over here.
Oh, nice.
If we talked about card games and board games purchases, I think that I would have something new every week. I love playing board games and card games. You're a big Yu-Gi-Oh fan, correct?
Yo, I just took an Exodia deck and a Dark Magician deck and I smushed them together. That's my swag.
Like sense.
It's great. It's great. Video game wise, I haven't necessarily gotten anything, not really physical. I do have a physical copy of Hyrule Warriors Legends for the 3DS that I most recently got the DLC for.
Nice.
Okay.
So, kind of like renewing a physical swag, I guess.
Yeah, kind of like
totally
hitting that
counts.
Little button on the corner of your browser window where you just like refresh and it's all brand new.
I F5'd my Hyrule Warriors Legends.
There you go. But, all right, well, we'll move on from that, obviously. Recent swag is a segment where we just talk about new stuff that we purchased, got, or something just new. So, but the things that we may not be getting physically, there is always something that's out on the eShop digitally. So we're going to talk about the new releases that came out digitally this week, starting with the 3DS. I'm going to run through them real quick, and then we'll talk about anything that pops out if you want to say something about it, either one of you. Harvest Moon, Sky Tree Village, Mega Man X3 for the Virtual Console SNES, which obviously means you need to have the new Nintendo 3DS to be able to play this. Cartoon Network Battle Crashers, Dangerous Road, a million Cartart things.
I figured you might have a list of actual things that came out.
I'm not going to talk about all the Qatar games, but there was a ton of Qatar games.
I'm not even sure what
they are.
They're
meant for younger kids. They're meant for younger kids, very, very young kids. They're very simple games, like a lot of just like push A and you'll do this action type game. They're not super exciting, but if you have a younger sibling or young children that you want to get into gaming, this might be something to kind of do that with. And then also Shoot the Ball, which I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure this was made by RC Mediax, which means it also needs the new Nintendo 3DS to be able to get this game as well. So, anything on the 3DS side of things that anybody wants to say a couple words about or excited about? Anybody? Going once.
Going twice.
Shoot the ball. Just throwing it out there. Well, Shoot the Ball, done by RC Mediax. It's exclusive to new 3DS models.
Yes.
And we're pretty positive about RC Mediax on here. Just makes really simple, really budget-friendly games worth checking out. So Shoot the Ball
is the latest.
They're not
trying to hide either. They're not ever trying to hide about what they are.
Right?
They're always cheap.
I love RC Mediax for that reason.
They're always just a couple of dollars. They're nothing super extravagant. They're nothing that's going to blow you away. They're just supposed to be time wasters. They're just supposed to be just simple video games. I've done a couple of songs for a couple of the games, so like I have a little bit of a bias maybe a little bit towards them, but like they're exactly what they say they are. And if I had to guess, this game is based around you shooting a ball. That's just a guess. I do not know.
Yeah, shooting a ball into these rotating and moving shapes that have just small little slots where the ball can actually fit. So real simple, but could be a fun little time waster for just $1.50. So $1.50 as in literally $1.50.
Arthur, anything you wanted to talk about?
I mean, I've only ever played one Harvest Moon game, and it certainly not the SNES one, although I do have the new Nintendo 3DS XL. I'm still not super into that name, but whatever. Yeah.
We have to say it just because as a audio podcast, we got to kind of semi-classify what it is that we're talking about, you know what I mean?
Oh, sure, sure. Yeah. No, and I get that. It's just, it's really irritating because 30 years from now, when it's old and no one uses it anymore for anything, they'll be like, oh man, I just dug out my new 3DS the other day. Ugh.
You mean your new Nintendo 3DS, or like your new Nintendo 3DS?
No, it's a pre-owned new Nintendo 3DS, but you know.
Oh, okay.
So dumb.
My new 3DS.
Okay. Now we're going crazy. Now we're going crazy. I do want to say one thing about the Harvest Moon game. I heard that there's some sort of Minecraft-style system in there. It's a little bit more crafty than it is like a simi or something. So I'm excited for it. I haven't played a Harvest Moon game since probably the one on the Wii called like something tree, animal tree something. I don't know.
It was on the Wii? Animal Parade, maybe?
Animal Parade, maybe. That's the one that I played.
Well, my brother hated that one, and he's a pretty big fan, but...
it was the other one that came out. Something tree? Wasn't there one with the tree?
Happy Home Designs?
Yikes.
Yeah, that one too.
Don't know.
But I'm excited to find out more information about this because I think it could be exciting to see Harvest Moon with a little bit more crafting elements. I think that could be really cool. But I don't know much else about it. So we'll go ahead and move on and get to the Wii U games that came out on the eShop. And quite a bit of cool stuff, actually, not going to lie. Resident Evil The Umbrella Chronicles. This is a light gun shooter for the Wii Virtual Console on the Wii U. If you did not play it, I think it's pretty cool. The Umbrella Chronicles was the first one. The Dark Side Chronicles was the second one. I would imagine eventually we're going to see that come to the Wii as well. The Wii U, I mean, for the Virtual Console for the Wii. Anyways, this is a lot of fun. If you like light gun shooting games, totally awesome. I think it's pretty cool. Holly, please tell us a little bit about Rhythm Heaven Fever after I say that we also got Dungeon Hearts DX. I know nothing about that one. But other Virtual Console game that came out on the Wii U was Rhythm Heaven. So what is Rhythm Heaven all about?
So Rhythm Heaven Fever was a kind of a latecomer, actually, to the Wii library. It's not, I mean, the Rhythm Heaven games are all about basically teaching you and testing you on kind of simple to complex rhythms, but in this really quirky, whimsical, and colorful graphical style with some amazing character designs and things like that. So that's kind of what the series in general is about. Thankfully, the Wii version didn't... The DS version relied on touch controls, which worked just fine, but that kind of made me worried that if something ever came to the Wii, it would rely on like point controls or motion controls. Thankfully, it didn't. It's just button controls, and it is... so good. I mean, again, just super colorful and quirky and happy. I feel like it's just such an upbeat game, pun intended there.
Wow. Wow.
So yeah, thankfully, good. I mean, rhythm is such a precise thing, and Rhythm Heaven games are like, they demand serious precision. And so I just think that Fever, there's nothing, you know, drastically new about any new Rhythm Heaven game. They're all just really fun. And kind of like the previous one, but they add new games and things like that. And so if you haven't tried a Rhythm Heaven game, Rhythm Heaven Fever is great. Rhythm Heaven on the DS is great. Rhythm Heaven Mega Mix on the 3DS is great. They're all great. And if you end up liking one of them, get the others. I mean, they're just really, really good, really different, but I love them.
And I think a lot of Nintendo fans obviously know what the games are, even if you've never had firsthand experience playing them or dealing with them. Like, Rhythm Heaven is definitely a name that most Nintendo fans... Are you a fan of the Rhythm Heaven games at all, Arthur?
No, I'm sorry. I can't say I am. I've never tried them.
Are you aware of them, though, kind of my point. Like, you know what the games are.
I do know they exist, and I know someone wanted Choirmen to be in Smash Brothers.
The Chorus Kids, I think, is what their name is.
Yeah, the Chorus Kids.
Choirmen, close enough.
Aren't they assist trophies, though, or not?
No, they're not. If they were, I would have gotten all, you know, giddy. I think they do have some music in the newest Smash Brothers games.
They do.
From Rhythm Heaven. So thanks for that, Nintendo.
I did look up some gameplay footage while you were talking, not out of rudeness, but because I already know what Rhythm Heaven is for that Dungeon Hearts DX. Holly, you might check this out. It looks like a mix between a rhythm-style puzzle game that relies on RPG combat.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I feel like I might go and get this. This looks pretty interesting. At first, the graphics look kind of generic and whatever, but as I watch the gameplay, I'm like, oh, wow, I could like just sit there and just do this for hours. This looks like a fun little puzzle game, so you might check it out. It's at least worth looking at, if nothing else. Yeah, so that's what came out this week for the Nintendo 3DS eShop and the Wii U eShop. Go and check out those games and support the games that are good enough to purchase and buy and play. And let us know what you think about them. But moving on from the stuff that you can purchase and play to the stuff that we're actually playing, I'm going to talk about Animal Crossing for just a moment.
Because I love
me some Animal Crossing. I downloaded the update, and guess what I was able to get? I got a 3DS.
What? Already?
It was like the third fortune cookie that I got was the 3DS, and I was looking for the Wii U one.
Jealous.
So like when I got the 3DS one, I was like almost disappointed. I'm like, well, I guess I'll take
it. I haven't gotten either, so there.
Well, you'll be happy to know that after getting the 3DS, I've now gotten two of the marshmallows. Or not marshmallows, two of the mushrooms. I don't know why I called it a marshmallow. Two of the mushrooms, you know, for the one-up one mushroom.
I was like, and mushrooms? I've been picking up mushrooms all over my town.
No, the fortune cookie ones is the one I'm talking about. But so I haven't got anything else exciting or lucky. I did get a cart this last time today. But yes, I did get the 3DS after like my second or third day. And it is the Puzzle League game. The style of Animal Crossing, and it is so much fun. It is absolutely a blast to play, and it's so weird to like be excited to play a mini game in Animal Crossing. But I don't know, Arthur, did you ever play Animal Crossing for the GameCube?
No.
One of the most exciting things about Animal Crossing for the GameCube was being able to play NES games inside of Animal Crossing, and for a game that's basically a life simulator, the idea to be able to sit down and play a game within a game, as meta as that may be, is also just totally, is so much fun. It's a lot of fun. It's a really cool experience. And to be able to like decorate your room in Animal Crossing as you do, obviously, but then to like have like this 3DS in the corner and then you go play and it brings you into an actual game that you're playing on it. It's kind of meta, but it's a lot of fun. The game itself is obviously Puzzle League. Puzzle League's a very, very good puzzle game. And having it themed out in Animal Crossing style is really, I don't know, it's very, very fun. I'm also just...
Cute.
It is very cute. That, I guess, is the best way to describe it.
I've got Wolf Link, who just moved into my town, so there.
I don't want to open my Wolf Link amiibo.
What?
I don't know why.
You bought the game. Like, didn't you open the game?
Oh, I opened the game, yeah. I played it for a
while. Oh, yeah, it's the amiibos packaged separately, huh?
It is. Hmm. So I don't know if I want to open it. I don't know why, but I'm like having like legitimate anxiety over like, should I just open him? No, yes, no, yes, no?
Do it.
I don't know. No, don't tell me to
That's
do it.
That's the devil on your shoulder, I think. The angel is saying, don't be anxious over it. Do what you feel is right. Do what your heart tells you.
I think I might do it. I might finally break down. But yes, I'm still on the mad hunt pursuit for the Wii U. Do you know what the code, or have you, either of you read what the description is when you get the fortune cookie that has a Wii U associated with it?
No.
It's really, really good. Do you want me to spoil it for you?
Yeah, go ahead.
It's sometimes artists are not appreciated during their time.
Oh.
Bittersweet. Oh my God.
Isn't that so morbid?
It's called bittersweet.
It's literally Nintendo saying, like, hey, it's good. You guys just don't appreciate it yet. Aww. In time, you will.
You just don't get it.
Yeah.
That's how I feel sometimes.
I'm super excited to get a Wii U eventually inside Animal Crossing to be able to play that desert island escape game. But for now, I'm very content with walking around my town, pulling out weeds and picking apples and all sorts of stuff to try and build up my ability to upgrade my town a little bit more. I did restart it, I should say. I did restart and start from scratch just because
I did too.
I'd been gone for at least a year and a half, if maybe not two, by that time. So I figured, you know what, I'm just going to start over, whatever, and it'll be good. And I'm happy I did. It's given me an appreciation to kind of keep going back instead of just feeling like I can just drop it at any time. So I've been having a lot of fun playing that. That's been taking up the majority of my time. So I don't want to really discuss anything else because I haven't put a whole lot of time in anything else for sure. So, Holly, do you want to talk about what you've been playing, or do you want to save that for last since it's probably NES related?
I'll save it for last. I can't think of anything besides anything, you know, significant, I suppose, besides the NES Classic that I've been playing lately.
Okay. And then, Arthur, have you been playing any video games as of late to talk about?
Don't be surprised. Yu-Gi-Oh! Nightmare Troubadour for the Nintendo DS.
This is what I like. You see, I try to like get all those kind of games that not everybody's always talking about. Like, I talk about a lot of wrestling games, for instance, that are on Nintendo platforms sometimes. So, like, it's nice to hear a breath of fresh air. Like, no, I'm not a huge card battling fan when it comes to Yu-Gi-Oh!, but I'd love to hear some information about a game on the DS that I've never, ever touched. So, let's hear about it a little bit.
All right. Well, it is modeled after... You are blank slate protagonist number whatever. In the form of all you do is, like... It gives you a map, and you scroll around the map with your stylus, which is a cursor, and the cursor will change colors from purple, which is nothing, to, like, red or green. I don't know. It changes colors when you're over a duelist. The duelists are ranked by stars based on your level. For the record, everyone is ranked one star for me. That's how good I am. All right, so just let that sink in for a second.
Okay.
and so it goes through the Battle City arc for the Yu-Gi-Oh! Anime, but it uses the character models from the manga. So, you know, consistency, none. Don't worry about it. The card set, for anyone who actually plays Yu-Gi-Oh!, the card set it goes up to is Invasion of Chaos. So if you're knowledgeable of Yu-Gi-Oh!, you'll know that that's not very far. So
when
as far
game
as like
came out though, was that about as far as the actual deck sets were at that point?
Oh, by the time that game came out, I was like, oh, it is this card? Oh,
yeah.
No way. Don't laugh. It has the Egyptian god cards, which at the time were amazing to be in any game, and not only was it amazing for them to be in a game, that you could use them in the game, but they also had the effects like they did from the show. So, like, for reference, in past games, the actual card game was like a broken down, watered version. It was a broken, watered down version, and it was not an actual representation of the real card game that you would play with your friends. And if it did have the god cards, they'd be like stupid, broken mess. And fun to an extent, but it's not the same. And so Nightmare Troubadour was like, hey, here's the actual card game with the actual cards. This is what they actually do in the real game, their effects and whatnot. And then it has the god cards. And they do like what they do from the show. And to be honest, the god cards in that game are more powerful than the actual god cards they printed for tournament use, a tournament legal use, like for real.
Beginner friendly, maybe? I don't know. I got a god card. Yes, I can just breeze through.
Sort of?
I can definitely understand the want of a card game that you buy to be like very true to the actual card game itself. I got into Magic the Gathering for a very long time, and I tried playing it like online, and it was similar to what it was, but it didn't feel quite the same. But now a lot of my time is spent playing Hearthstone, which is a blast of a card game. I have tried to get into Yu-Gi-Oh! In the past. It is a pretty in-depth card game, so I could imagine how a video game representation of it, why they would water it down in a sense, and then why a fan of it would not want it to be watered down, you know? Sadly, card games, as I'm sure you know from playing a physical card game, it's only as fun as the opponent that you kind of have to go against. So if you have a video game representation of it, the entirety of the game that you want to be playing is just playing the matches. I mean, you just want to keep playing the card game over and over again. So if you have a broken one, it gets very dumb. And then if you have a fully fledged one, at least you can enjoy it for that reason, if nothing else.
Oh, yeah. And like I said, you know, in today's standards, the set does not go that far. So as far as like how an in-depth kind of deck you can build with strategy and you know, actual variety, it's not there.
What's the last Yu-Gi-Oh! Game to get released?
That would be Yu-Gi-Oh! Zexal Dual Carnival. I forget what year they tacked onto that, but it was for the 3DS, and it was a digital download only.
Oh, really?
And I do own it.
Is it a very good representation of it?
I mean, it's in terms of gameplay, it's basically like Nightmare Troubadour into like because again, Nightmare Troubadour and in turn this one is exactly played in the game the exact same way you play for real, with the cards they do their actual real effects, etc. And yeah, the highest that game went up to was the most recent Blue Eyes White Dragon structure deck at the time, which was amazing for me. And the most important thing about that game is you can go through the story mode just fine and use only certain limited number of cards, but you can also go through the free duel menu, which allows you to create a deck using any combination of any cards from the entire game's full roster of cards available. So you don't have to, like, battle the same guy over and over and over to try and get that one rare card or to earn money to go to the KC shop and buy packs and maybe get that one card. It's not tedious when it comes to deck building, I guess is the point.
That's really good. Well, that's awesome. I know for a fact that there are people that like these games a lot. So thank you for giving us a little bit of fresh air and talking about something that me nor Holly would probably ever talk about. So
right.
Thank you for adding that to it, to the show.
But I really like Yu-Gi-Oh! But
Let's move on to something we all really like, the NES. We are going to be talking about the NES Classic Edition that has been so nicely referred to as the NES Mini. I know, Holly, you got one. Arthur, did you get one?
No, although I would like one.
Were you on the lookout for one at all, or are you kind of like, I'm in the post stage of like, man, I really probably should have tried to get one. Like, I made myself okay. I was like, if I don't get it, I'm totally okay with that because I already own these games. I've played these games. I don't need to, like, spend $60 on just another way to play these games. Like, I have the ability to do that. But then, like, as I saw that it was getting sold out and it was rare to find, like, the collector part inside of me was just like, why didn't I go wake up at 12 o'clock and get this at the moment that it opened up in the store? So, I don't know. I want one now, but
yeah.
I'm not dying for one, and I'm not going to spend thousands of dollars like people are for some bizarre reason on
that. Yeah, God. That's crazy. I mean, just wait. I mean, Nintendo has even tweeted that they are going to replenish stock through the holidays in 2017. I mean, you can wait. It's worth saving the money.
Yeah.
To wait.
I agree.
So how terribly short is the cord?
Huh? Oh, the cord. I thought you said the court. I was like, is that an expression that I don't know?
I heard that too.
Okay, well, I guess I said it, but cord is what I meant. How terribly short is the cord?
It's pretty much as terrible as you'd expect. And I didn't even, I think I kind of mentioned this in my commentary for my unboxing video. I didn't plan on, buying extender cables because I honestly was just going to have this thing in my bedroom set up, which, you know, I've got kind of a smaller TV, and so I've got my chair set up kind of closer to the screen, so I thought that'll work. But then I decided to use, like, the main setup in the living room, and with that setup, I have to put a chair a couple of feet away from the TV to get it to work. So I did buy some extender cables. The cords are terribly, terribly short. I don't know why Nintendo did that. I mean, I kind of understand. It probably matches, maybe close. It matches the length of the, like, classic controller cord for the Wii. For the Wii and Wii U, I guess. The old classic controller, if you know what I'm talking about. That cord that kind of connects to a Wii remote. I figure Nintendo kind of did that because of that, sort of.
Well,
like, that's part of their excuse. But it's just an excuse, and it's dumb. Yeah,
I think one of the reasons, though, for sure, is as someone that grew up with the NES and played it, like, obviously we didn't have the space age technology to have these giant TVs when I was growing up and playing on the NES. A lot of our times when we were playing video games was spent around huddled around the console, around the TV. And I think this is at least kind of what people have said to a little bit, that they are kind of going for that nostalgic feel. Like, I even remember playing the N64, which had longer controllers and stuff like that, but, like, so much of our time was spent around the console itself, which was usually directly underneath the TV. Nowadays, we just want to sit back in our couches and play these video games, I think, is the difference.
Yeah.
Mm.
Which Nintendo just should have given us a wireless controller, let's be honest.
Yeah. But yeah, I'd say that. It sounds basically that they were just trying to capitalize off the... it's like, well, because you just said it. You're like, you know, originally we were huddled around the console, which, you know, back then the actual relative space was far less than what we have now. Like you just said, for a giant TV, probably right. hooked onto a wall, you're halfway across the room, backed into a couch with a controller, like, well, again, wireless controller. Yeah. When originally it would be like a small little square TV, possibly not even off. Yeah, possibly not even on a shelf.
Yeah,
with the console and the cord. I mean, maybe they went the full length of the original NES controller.
I would love to try and find an original NES controller. I know that I might have one out in my garage somewhere. I'd love to get both of them and see, like, is it similar to what the old one is? Because I haven't seen anyone at least do that yet, compare the old one to the new one. But
I'm pretty sure, just based on experience, that the old one is a lot longer. At least twice as long would be my guess.
Well, moving on from the hardware aspect of it, besides the fact that it's probably the size of a nickel altogether, Holly, how are the games? Like, there are 30 games, obviously, on this console. Is every game a hit? Is some games kind of worse than others? What is your thoughts on the game so far?
There are some misses. Super C is on there, and that's great. But I think a lot of people wanted Contra, and I'm like, okay, you got the, you know, license or whatever it was to put Super C on here. Why couldn't you put Contra as well? Like, replace one of the other games that isn't such a big deal. And I'm trying to think of another game that isn't a hit, like you say. Maybe Zelda 2, but maybe not, come to think of it. I kind of like the look of the library. There are a couple of games on there that I, you know, we've known for a while what the list of games is, but yeah. it didn't really occur to me until I flipped through the actual list with my actual NES Classic controller that I realized, like, oh my gosh, look at all these games that, like, I'm not even sure what they are, like Gradius, whatever that game is.
You don't know what Gradius is?
Not sure what that is, no.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah.
It's a classic shmup. That's a really good shoot 'em up. You should play that one.
Okay, cool.
And you can use the Contra code in that game.
Ah, mm-hmm. Okay. Interesting. So there are a few games in there where I have been almost pleasantly surprised, even though, you know, I've seen them in the list forever, but seeing, like, the box art right there on the screen, I'm just like, oh yeah, this game is on there, and I've never played it or enjoyed it. I just thought of a game, actually, that Contra might have been good replacing, and that is Donkey Kong Jr. That game,
that game's good.
Sure.
No, that is a good game.
Yeah, vine climbing. Vine climbing's okay, but I don't know. Ice Climber is another one. Excitebike,
about Excitebike.
Not the best game ever. But yeah, that's the thing, is that this list is amazing the way that it is. I feel
now,
like.
Is there a game on there that you've maybe thought about playing in the past, but you didn't have the ability to, that you're now going to be able to sit down and play it because of this? Like, is there anything you're exceptionally excited to play, I guess?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, now I'm all excited to play Gradius. But that's not one that I have ever thought, like, oh, I really wanted to play that game. I can't think of any right now.
There's a lot of... I'm excited. If I do wind up getting it, like... I do have a small TV that's downstairs in my basement where I have a, like, just a DVD player that's set up. It's nothing. We don't use the basement more than anything just to have our dinners and stuff. It's not really. It's kind of a front room that's away from the front room. So we kind of do family stuff downstairs. We play board games and everything on the table down here. So I was thinking if I did get one, it'd be a fun place to have it because my kids would have access to it. And I think more than anything, I've played these games countless times. I know these games, you know, so much, but I think it'd be a lot of fun to have it on the smaller TV downstairs for my kids to kind of grow up with a little bit as well. So that's kind of my reasoning behind wanting to get it. There's a lot of games on there that I'm excited for them to experience. Obviously, you know my love for Kirby.
I'm excited to play that one even.
It's so good. It is so, so very, very good. Arthur, do you know about the list for the NES Mini? Are you aware kind of what games are available on it?
I am looking at it right now.
I mean, just looking at it, is there games on there that you... what is your experience with the NES? Did you grow up with one as a kid? Did you see it kind of as you were kind of getting older and stuff? Or where's your retro roots, I guess?
First of all, there's a Yu-Gi-Oh card called Gradius, and it's modeled after the ship.
Nice!
Really?
Yeah, I'll show it to you in a second. That aside, I mean, I grew up, and I was a little kid, the most I could do was play, barely. I could barely play Mario. I could make him dance on the vine. You know, that was my power move. And then I would watch my sister and her guy friend play The Legend of Zelda. Like, he would be the one moving them, and she would be like, you know, oh, you need to go up to this square. She'd have the map, basically.
Oh, okay. So it wasn't like, I do this, like a backseat driver kind of thing. It's like she literally had, like, the info that he needed.
Oh, yeah. No, they were working together. They were
nice.
Great. And then I'd also watch him play Kirby's Adventure, which I know you were just saying you love that game. For the record, Kirby's Adventure on the NES is just forever ingrained as the epitome of a Kirby adventure, despite the fact that it did, in fact, start on the Game Boy.
Oh, yes. Kirby for the NES is definitely why it is Kirby today, like, for sure.
Oh, God, I love it. I guess as far as anything I would like to get good at would be definitely Ninja Gaiden, because I think everyone universally sucks at that game.
not only universally sucks, like, you know how some people say, like, it's in my blood to do this or in my blood to do that? Like, I think it was, like, baked into people's, like, DNA to not be good at Ninja Gaiden.
Or baked into Ninja Gaiden's DNA.
No. They found a part of our DNA in our human body and made it so that we would be unable to be good at this game. It's treason against yourself to play that game. But it's a lot of fun.
I'm scared now. I've always been scared of it, though. Let's be honest.
It's a lot of fun. And the fact that the NES Mini also supports save states... Like, I know there are some people out there that if you use save states, then you're quote-unquote a baby. I don't mind being a baby at games that are older than me as a person, and I just want to play, you know, like, and games that I grew up with, that, like, I would much rather play, you know, Twilight Princess and, like, play that as let me think of the best term, a true playthrough. I guess that would be the best way to explain it. Like, that's a game that I want to experience in a true playthrough. When it comes to, like, the NES Zelda game, I've played it, I know about it, I just want to get through it, and I want to see it, and I want to make sure that if I don't have 3 hours to sit down and play it, I can walk away from it and play it later. So I'm excited for the save states about it, too. I like save states for old games, personally.
The term you're looking for is save scum.
Is that what I am? A save scum?
Yikes.
No. Who abuse it, I mean.
Yes. Oh, yes. And trust me, I'm not going to lie. I've abused it before. I was playing Mega Man 2 for the very first time, and there was a jump that I died on about 4 or 5 times, and I finally said, you know what? I'm going to get to the point where the jump happens, and I'm going to save state it right there, and if I don't make it, I'm just going to go back to it, and I'm going to keep doing it over and over and over again.
I did that with Mega Man 1, actually, with one of the final boss, actually, Yellow Devil. Kinda.
I don't mind being save scum, not going to lie.
Me neither in certain situations. Like, for example, I've actually kind of begun my NES Classic playthroughs with The Legend of Zelda, the original Legend of Zelda. I'm totally taking it super seriously for once, and I'm totally gonna, you know, get far and enjoy it, find out why people like it so much, because I just feel like it hasn't aged very well, truth be told. Well, I don't know, the combat to me, and I'm kind of getting used to it, actually, but, you know, the combat to me is just not fun. The exploration is not very fun, because it's like, how do you even know what bushes are burnable, or what parts of the rock are
you burn every bush.
Well, that's
trial
a massive
error,
waste of time. It's ridiculous.
In 1985, Holly, we had nothing else to do.
Exactly.
We had no other video games to play. Like, this
I still don't get it.
I understand you mean when you say that you don't think it's aged very well. I think it has actually continued its aging process. Like, I went back to it because I had played it a very, very long time ago, you know, when I was younger and stuff. I did not get very far, and then me and Anthony from GameGravy.com, we were originally going to do like a Zelda month type thing where we're going to do like a Game of the Month Club type thing for Zelda. And I played, I think, 6 out of the 8 dungeons, and I had such a blast doing it. And I told myself, do not use a walkthrough. And just because of that, like that trial and error and just looking around the environment and finding, and the best part about The Legend of Zelda for the NES, when you're going through a dungeon and you find the map, that is one of the most rewarding things to find in a dungeon.
Oh, that's like one of the lamest things to find in the Ocarina of Time dungeons.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Okay.
The actually, NES is amazing.
You know what's funny is that I have been going through the trial and error of blowing up everything, and I have found a few things, and I... for a while, I was trying to blow up bushes, and then I remembered, like, oh, wait a minute, you're not supposed to try to blow these up. They are supposed to be burned. So I finally found the blue candle, and I just have a quick question with the blue candle, which I finally was able to purchase. So what I hear is that, quote-unquote, every screen, you can use the blue candle again. That's, like, how it recharges, yes, kind of thing. If I leave a screen and then come back to that screen, can I use it again?
Yeah.
Oh, thank heavens, because I used it once outside of the place where I got it, and I did not hit the right bush. I'm pretty sure there's a bush there, darn it, that will work, but it was the one that I tried was not the right one, so I'd like to know if I can eventually go back and try the blue candle again. So magic isn't a thing. What about the red candle? Is that just, like, unlimited uses?
Yeah, that's the one you want to get for next.
Okay, awesome. So that's
How
good.
How many dungeons have you gone through?
So far, none. I have played for almost 2 hours just blowing things up and killing enemies and dying many times.
I don't want to say you're doing it wrong, because there's no wrong way to do it. But Holly, go to a dungeon.
You're supposed to prepare, though.
No.
Every time I've tried to go to a dungeon without preparing and getting some, you know, items and equipment, things like that. Like, I found a secret where I got a heart container. If I didn't have my fourth heart container, then I would be ill-prepared for some of the dungeons. I know the first dungeon. I know where it is. I know how to beat it because I've beaten it so many times. It's insane. The furthest I've gotten is, like, to the fifth dungeon or the sixth or something like that. So
you're right there. You're right on the brim of beating it, obviously.
So thanks. I guess I'm playing this game wrong. I give up.
No.
I'm moving on to Kirby.
No. Okay, well, that's a good game. But no, there is no wrong way to play. Did you even read my article?
The first one, unfortunately, no.
You know what? That is a good light read before going back into Zelda.
Okay.
It's a good, like, just start, or, like, it gives a great outlook on what the series is for
that
wonderful reason of the exploration of it. And I do believe...
Oh, I'm exploring, and I'm still playing it wrong?
No.
You guys are weird. I mean, you're contradicting yourselves, like, left and right here. At least you are, Matt.
No, he's contradicting himself. I already told you, there is no wrong way to play Zelda.
Yes.
Again, read the article.
Okay, will do.
Thank you.
All right, well, I'm wrong, and you guys are very right. But we're not going to stop today with the NES love. We're going to go ahead and announce right now that for the rest of the month of November, we're going to do an NES celebration. It is games of the month. It is the NES of the month. So any NES game that you want to play, all of the NES games you want to play, you don't have to select one. You don't have to select two. Select as many of them as you want.
You don't even have to restrict yourself to the mini. By the way, I have to get this off my chest before I forget about it. But the NES, the NES Classic controller thing that comes with the NES Mini, those controllers, which are also sold separately for $10 and impossible to get a hold of, like the system, those controllers work with Shovel Knight, and I think I may have had a heart attack. Like, I might not even be alive right now, because when I tested that out and it actually worked and I got to play Shovel Knight with an actual NES controller, basically, wow, that's amazing. And I don't know what other games are going to support it or already do, or what is involved in making that controller work with a game, but that's awesome.
I know this answer.
Sure.
Basically, you can map it. So any game that allows you to map the virtual controller to the physical controller, like Super Mario World, for example.
Yeah. Well, I knew that virtual console titles would work with it, but Shovel Knight, that's an indie game.
Yeah, but you can use a classic controller on that, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Anything you can plug into a Wii remote or something, because it's the same connection.
Yeah, it's the same connection, but the NES the NES controller does not have nearly as many buttons as, for example, a Wii Classic controller, which
looks
more like a Super Nintendo controller. But I'm thinking, like, you know, games that basically will work with the Wii remote turned sideways will probably work with this thing. I'm going to try Runbo next, probably, because that was the other one that I had the idea to test out, because Runbo will take the simplest control scheme and work, and it is a good game. That's not a bad thing. But the fact that you can actually play Runbo where somebody's holding a Wii Remote, and then somebody's holding, another person is holding the nunchuck attached to that Wii Remote, and each one is its own controller. That tells me that this NES controller might actually work with Runbo and maybe some other games too, which is awesome.
Probably.
Please let us know, because that'd be pretty cool. But for the month of November, pick any games that you want to play that are NES related. Let us know about it on Twitter.
Even if it's Shovel Knight. Shovel Knight totally counts.
I mean, you said that. I didn't say that. I mean, I'm not going to fault you for it. Don't worry.
It's inspired by NES games, and it's a gorgeous, beautiful, amazing game.
Yeah, it is.
But for the month of November, pick any NES game that you want to talk about. Please join the conversation on Twitter at, I don't know why I was going to say my own thing, but hashtag NFGameClub. Please join the conversation at hashtag NFGameClub. And we'll be doing lots of fun and exciting things for the rest of the month of November, including a giveaway that we had spoke about previously. We'll probably try to plan that for the end of this month. Okay, Holly? You know what I'm talking about, right?
Right. Twisted Fusion? I thought that was for your special episode, though.
Oh, maybe that's what we're... Okay, so we still have,
we'll have something
to work out. Yes, because I actually have some other games to give away as well. So that's what maybe I was trying to think of. Okay. But yeah, I think that's going to just about do it for the show today, unless there's anything deafening that either one of you need to get off your chest about the NES Mini.
Oh, the Shovel Knight, that was it for me.
Did you know The Legend of Zelda for the NES was the first game to implement a save feature?
I think I did know that.
Thank you, YouTube.
Okay, thank you, Did You Know Gaming, who isn't even a part of the show.
Yes, well, they are today, I guess. But thank you, Arthur, for coming on and joining us for the podcast. It was an absolute blast to have you here today. Hopefully we can get you on every once in a while, if not more often.
I genuinely thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here. It's awesome. Thank you.
It's absolutely no problem. Thank you for writing for the website as well. Everybody, go and check out the two articles that he has written, and the third one that's going to be posted the day that you are listening to this episode, or it's already there because you might be listening to an archive. Isn't that weird to be speaking in the present and then the thought that maybe someone in the future is then going to go back and listen to our past episodes?
Not really.
Yeah, I'm kind of used to it, but I binge watch a lot of Game Grumps.
I do know that feeling. But thank you guys so much for listening. All you guys, join us on Twitter for hashtag NFGameClub. Make your guesses for hashtag NFPokemon. You can hit me up on Twitter at OnlyMattDesen. You can find Holly at
Holly Felmuth.
And you can find Arthur at
Arthur_McDowell.
And you can find the official Nintendo Fever podcast and website on Twitter as well at Nintendo Fever. And you can send us an email at oh my goodness, seriously, these are too many words that I'm trying to get out. podcast@nintendofever.com. Thank you guys so much for listening. We're going to be talking more and more about NES throughout the month, and also Pokemon as well, so stay tuned for all sorts of fun stuff. And I think that's it, so say goodbye.
See ya.
Bye.